Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing SeaWorld's Tillicum the Orca murders. Here's what you need to know. On a cold November day in 1983 off the east coast of Iceland, a two-year-old male orca was wrestled from his family pod and out of the ocean. For his first year in captivity, he was held at an Icelandic aquarium where he could either cruise slowly in circles or lie still on the surface. Finally, the young whale was sent to the rundown Sealand of the Pacific, just outside Victoria, on British Columbia's Vancouver Island, and given the name Tillicum, a word from the Chinook language meaning friend. Orca trapping had become a lucrative business since 1961, when the first killer whale, named Moby Doll, was captured and displayed at the Burrard Dry Dock in North Vancouver. Over the next decade, the orca entertainment industry boomed, as around 300 killer whales were netted off the Pacific Northwest coast, with 51 sold to marine parks across the globe. Tillicum adjusted poorly to his new routine at Sealand. The orca show was performed every hour on the hour, 8 times a day, 7 days a week. At the end of the workday, Tillicum and two female orcas, Haida and Nootka, were moved into a 26-foot by 20-foot deep metal pool for the next 14 hours. In the mornings, all three killer whales would exit the holding pool with bloody tooth raking from the stressful and confining environment. It was on February 20th, 1991, that the whales fatally unleashed years of pent-up aggression. Sealand had just wrapped up an afternoon show when Kelty Byrne, a 20-year-old marine biology student and part-time trainer, slipped into the orca pool. As she struggled to get out, one of the killer whales grabbed her and pulled her into the water, treating Kelty as if she were a toy. Tillicum, Haida, and Nootka pushed and pulled her through the water as other trainers desperately attempted to rescue her. Within 10 minutes, Kelty was unresponsive, but it took employees 2 hours to pull her body out of the water. While newfound safety protocols were recommended, Sealand never recovered from the incident and soon shuttered its doors. Despite the growing public concerns about the dangerous behavior of Tilikum, SeaWorld was eager to acquire a male stud orca for breeding and filed a formal application to import Tilikum, as well as the now pregnant Haida and Nootka. In 1992, Tilikum became a center part of SeaWorld's breeding program, as well as a member of their popular orca show. In 1999, Tilikum struck again. In the early morning of July 6, a trainer arrived at his office near the underwater viewing area of the pool. He glanced through the viewing glass and saw Tilikum staring back, with what appeared to be two human feet hanging down his side. There was a nude body draped across Tilikum's back. The victim was 27-year-old Daniel Dukes, who had recently been released from jail and had apparently hid at SeaWorld overnight. At some point, Dukes removed his clothing, folding them neatly by the enclosure, and jumped into the pool. There were no cameras or witnesses, but Tilikum had mutilated the man's body throughout the night. He had abrasions and contusions, his testicles had been ripped open, and divers had to go to the bottom of the pool to retrieve little pieces of his body. SeaWorld attributed the death to human error, since Dukes had illegally hopped the fence. 10 years later, in 2010, the beloved and highly skilled Don Branshaw was working with Tilikum during the show Dine with Shamu, as families enjoyed lunch at the cafe that wrapped around the pool. As per protocol, Don remained out of the water when instructing Tilikum through a series of behaviors he had learned during his 27 years as an entertainer. Soon after the show ended, Don fed Tilikum some herring and lay down on the shallow ledge by the side of the pool to conduct a relationship session as Tilikum floated alongside her. When another trainer shouted up that they were ready for Tilly to dive down and swim directly up to the glass for a photo op, instead of waiting for his cue, the orca suddenly took hold of Don, yanking her into the water. The other trainer hit the pool siren, broadcasting a signal 500 for a water rescue at G Pool. As SeaWorld staff slapped the water surface, attempting to distract Tilikum, the whale dragged her through the water, sometimes letting her go only to grab her again, violently shaking the trainer who knew and worked with him regularly. As guests were quickly ushered away, trainers finally managed to guide Tilikum to the medical lift, where paramedics pried Don's body out of his grasp, her arm coming off in his mouth during the process. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Fun facts, aka death stats. On February 20th, 1991, 20-year-old part-time trainer Kelty Lee Byrne was the first trainer ever killed by orcas at a marine park. It took Sealand employees 2 hours to recover her body from Nootka, Haida, and Tilikum. Her death was ruled a drowning. On the morning of July 6, 1999, at SeaWorld Orlando, 27-year-old Daniel Dukes was found dead, draped across Tilikum's back. Abrasions and contusions, both pre-mortem and post-mortem, were all over his head and body. The coroner determined the cause of death to be drowning. On February 24, 2010, at SeaWorld Orlando, top SeaWorld trainer Don Branshaw was pulled into the water and violently dragged around for 30 minutes by Tilikum following an afternoon show. Don sustained multiple blunt force injuries of the head, neck, and torso, including ripping away of the scalp, fracture of the lower jaw, fracture of the cervical vertebrae, fractures of 3 ribs, and lacerations of the liver. The coroner determined the cause to be drowning and traumatic injuries. The evidence of drowning was 1/7 of an ounce of liquid in one sinus chamber. At least 166 orcas have been taken into captivity from the wild since 1961. As of November 2021, there are at least 58 orcas held in captivity, 27 of which were captured in the wild, and 31 born in captivity. According to former SeaWorld trainer Sam Berg, there has not been a single incident of killer whales harming humans in the wild. In captivity, it's happened more than 70 times. During his 33 years in captivity, Tillicum lived in an enclosure an estimated 100 million times smaller than the home range that he would have lived in if he had remained free. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is Jackie Johnson. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you. Jackie is the host of Natch Beauty. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. Natch. It's actually Natch Beauty.
Natch Beauty.
Oh, sorry.
Get that Y off there, hon, okay?
No.
Common mistake.
I just want you to know that I'm reading it. I'm reading it.
So somebody fell asleep at the switch.
No, that was me.
Oh, got it. Hey, you know what? Reading can be difficult.
That's right. And that's we're about to do some reading here. So,
but you know what it is? It's because the word butte doesn't exist. And so your mind, being logical, said, right, I'm going to put the Y on this because this is what belongs. But no, it is called Natch Butte, which is short for natural beauty. We celebrate the beauty within on Natch Butte. It's a comedy beauty podcast where we laugh, we cry, we cream our necks, we talk about self-care. You're going to have to come on now. Sorry.
I can't wait. I listened to one of the episodes, and the first thing you did was start singing like in beautiful harmony.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I do a cover song every episode, My Cross to Bear. I started doing it as a bit almost 5 years ago, and here we are, 300 episodes later. I have to write a fucking cover song every week.
Well, you know what? It's gorgeous. I mean, get this. You already have a podcast. Get this woman a Broadway show while we're at it.
Mm-hmm. I would not turn that down. Although the work ethic for Broadway people is, I don't think I'm on that level.
Maybe it could just be a Podway show.
Clayton.
Ooh, you know what I could do? I could be a swing.
Yeah.
Just, that's more work. You know,
initially.
But then you just
get to eat craft services and hang out in the Hamilton wardrobe. So true, we'll see. Yeah.
So, Jackie, we like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's just keeping you up at night?
Okay. Well, I have a great answer.
Can't wait.
I'm pregnant. And my baby keeps me literally up. He kicks me all day long, and it's beautiful, but it's so weird. I don't know. It's sort of like the telltale heart. Like you hear the thumping of the heart, and I just feel these kicks all the time. And there's a little human in me kicking me. Isn't that so weird?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
I mean, I could never get used to it. I would at least go
to a doctor and see about that.
Yeah, but that would be what I would think. Like, oh my God, something's wrong. Every time he kicks me, I'm like, well, he's upset. What have I done? He didn't like the whole box of Girl Scout cookies I just gave him. Like, what is the problem?
He wants more.
Or does he like them? I don't know. I can't ask him. It's driving me insane.
He's sort of he or she is establishing themselves in this relationship pretty early on.
He's going to have a lot of explaining to do once he comes out to meet you, I guess. Huh?
Yes, and it's going to be a few years before he has the cognitive development to tell me. So this is going to be a real stressful moment.
Those are prime years. You should be prepared to prepare kind of like how you want to play that out once he gets that brain going.
It's stressful. The kicks are very stressful. I know it's beautiful and I'm very happy that, you know, I'm pregnant and everything, but it's weird. Alarming is the perfect word. It's just like, oh, it's happening again.
It's a literal alarm. I mean,
it's refreshing to hear that it's just like it's more than just beautiful. It's also just like straight up weird. I love that.
It keeps me up at night.
That is a very specific good answer. We've never had
such a literal answer to that question.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's there. 4 a.m. I'm like, oh, damn, he's going to be a frat boy. Like 4 a.m. on the dot. It's.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, speaking of frat boys, what a perfect transition to talk about this terrible tragedy, two-sided tragedy. That was not a great transition.
Jackie, just a little back.
Are you done yet, though? I feel like we should give her a chance.
I was just going to go and not say anything, but it was such a bad one that I had to stop myself.
You know what? I don't think it was bad at all, Rebecca.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Jackie.
Give yourself a break.
She always throws out, she's notorious for these kind of awkward transitions.
Segues are not easy. They're
no,
not easy.
No. Especially when you're segue into something terrible.
And yeah. I agree. I think frat boys are tragic.
There you go.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a two-sided tragedy, not only because there was, you know, human loss, but also, you know, what are we doing to these orcas, right? Let's start off by kind of getting a little background on killer whales. And this is according to livescience.com and fisheries.noaa.gov. Very professional.
You'd think the title Killer Whale would have given away the fate before everything right. happened.
We gave it the title.
Right. Like, come on, buddy.
I think we got to put that right up on the board, right? Judge a book.
Judge a book by its color. Okay, we'll start with that. Well, and put that up, Clay, while I read this. So the killer whale, also known as orca, is the ocean's top predator. It's the largest member of the dolphin family. So it's not a whale. It's a dolphin.
Wow.
Yeah. That blew my mind.
Yes.
Killer whales are highly social and most live in social groups called pods. Pods typically consist of a few to 20 or more animals. Killer whales rely on underwater sound to feed, communicate, and navigate. Pod members communicate with each other through clicks, whistles, and pulsed calls. Mm. Each pod in the Eastern North Pacific possesses a unique set of calls that are learned and culturally transmitted among individuals. These calls maintain group cohesion and serve as family badges. So it's almost like they have their own language. Language is not the right term, but I don't know. Language. We'll call it a language. Orcas are apex predators at the top of the food chain. No animals hunt orcas except for humans. Killer whales feed on many different types of prey, including fish, seals, birds, and squid. They can also take down whales larger than themselves, such as mink whales, and they are the only animal known to predate on great white sharks. Killer whales have been reported to kill swimming deer and moose.
Whoa.
Wow.
Orcas use many different techniques to catch prey. Sometimes they beach themselves to catch seals on land. Jumping from the water onto land, orcas will also work together to catch larger prey or groups of prey, such as schools of fish. So highly intelligent animals. I was listening to some website, some podcast about orcas, and they were saying that they can't, they never sleep. They never lose consciousness during their sleep because they have to remember to breathe. Hmm. So they only sleep half of their brain at once.
These are pretty impressive, these whales or dolphins.
They sound pretty, that sounds pretty exhausting.
Yeah, no wonder they're so killer.
They're grumpy.
I'd be cranky too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like the bullies of the sea and they're just tired and fed up with it all.
So why don't we start off by putting SeaWorld up on the board?
Sea land?
SeaWorld.
Oh, right.
So SeaWorld knew Tillicum had been involved in the death of SeaLand trainer Kelty Byrne. When trying to import Tillicum in the United States following that incident, Vice President for SeaWorld Zoological Operations, Brad Andrews, wrote, "We believe the accident was unique to SeaLand, and due to the combination of a poor pool design, which prohibited exit from the water, inadequate emergency life-saving procedures, and interference by whales unaccustomed to the presence of people in the water."
You know, sorry, just to cut you off from this big quote, but like, this shit just makes me upset because like, some guy gets in front of a microphone and all of a sudden he's this isn't a science. Like there's no science or right way to confine these animals.
Wild animals.
These wild dolphins. And it's just frustrating that they're like, oh, no, I'm SeaWorld. Like I know certain
things. Know how to keep them captive.
Yeah, we'll do a better job at it.
Well, just did that for the money because they wanted his sperm. They were like, okay, he's dangerous, but that sperm bow. This sperm can make us a lot of money, so we'll just deal with it because we're going to get that sweet, sweet semen.
True.
Sweet, sweet Truth. Semen, maybe we should
That is
that
why they
the
wanted
board.
Him, right?
I mean,
that's why they wanted him. There was They were in it for the long con.
Right.
You know?
So is that a capitalism thing?
Yeah, well, of course.
Oh my God. Let's put capitalism up on the board. 100%. And we will get to this sperm bank business. What did you call it? They wanted the sweet semen?
Sweet semen.
Okay, we'll remember that.
Feel free to isolate that audio and use it in personal life because I feel like you will.
Okay, Death at SeaWorld author David Kirby said, inside the SeaWorld park, trainers at Shamu Stadium were only vaguely aware of the danger warnings about Tilikum. Trainer Sam Berg was told that Tilikum had not hurt anyone. When supervisor Chuck Tompkins and chief animal trainer Tad Lasenik announced a new set of safety rules that would pertain only to Tilikum, Sam was a bit confused about the fuss. It didn't occur to her that they might know more about Tilly's past than they were telling at least some trainers. Outside Magazine writer and co-writer of the documentary Blackfish, Tim Zimmerman, said, SeaWorld conducts safety and rescue training once a month. Among other things, trainers are taught to go limp if they're grabbed, so the whales will lose interest.
The ragdoll technique.
Mm-hmm. The killer whales are taught to keep their mouths closed while swimming and desensitized so they stay calm and circle the perimeter of the pool if someone accidentally falls in. They learn emergency recall signals transmitted via a tone box and hand slaps and are trained to swim to a pool exit gate if a net is dropped in. Scuba gear is always nearby. SeaWorld's intensive regime helped its trainers interact with killer whales more than 2 million times without a death. But when a killer whale breaks from its training, all bets are off.
Yeah, that's a huge but.
Right.
I mean, it's a massive animal. They're like 10,000 pounds.
Okay.
Something like 10,000 pounds. Do you think you can control a 10,000 pound animal and just like throw a net in?
I feel like going off what Chris was just saying a little earlier too, and something that we talked about very recently in a previous episode was this kind of harkens back to human hubris or audacity to me, to think that we are capable of, I mean, Yes, we're at the top of the food chain, but do we really have to flaunt it in this way where it's like we are in control and we will master this wild animal and we will make it like literally dance for us and expect nothing bad to go wrong? You know, mm-hmm. Like, why are we doing that?
Indeed.
For the stuffed animals?
For the money and for that sweet, sweet semen.
Sweet semen, and the sweet, sweet semen gets you the money.
You're right. It's sick. It's absolutely sick. Who would go to the ocean and see a whale and go, you know what I should do? Put that in a bathtub and force it to jump for a stadium full of assholes. Like, who does that?
You're so right.
Well, because they can make money off that thing dancing for, you know, it's like if people are going to pay to see it, I guess.
This is kind of
like, it's mine for the taking. I'm a human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we didn't heed the warnings of the great film King Kong, which is basically this what it was about, right?
Yeah, you're right.
That are we not listening to our own warnings?
Our own Hollywood movies?
Did they make King Kong jizz in a cup? I don't remember that scene.
Yeah, that was how the movie opened.
It didn't make the cut.
They were running out of time.
I'm actually surprised that hasn't been involved in one of the many, many remakes. Like, we had his sperm on ice, and we've decided to create a King Kong army of dancers.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about a ponytail.
Okay. This sounds sexist, but go ahead.
Well, Tim Zimmerman from the Blackfish documentary said, former trainer Mark Simmons has been involved in deconstructing previous SeaWorld incidents between trainers and killer whales and was a friend of Brancho's. Mm-hmm. He also thinks Brancho's vulnerable position and hair, which he says she was growing long so she could give it to cancer patients for wigs.
Oh,
I know.
God.
Were the key factors that led to her being pulled into the pool. Tilikum has never had an aggressive disposition, he says. This was not the first time Dawn had laid down next to Tilly in that position, but it was the first time her hair was that long and contacted Tilly.
Oh.
Yeah, so weird, right? Simmons believes Tilikum reacted to this novel stimuli by taking it in his mouth. Then Brancho tried to tug it free as spotter Jan Topoleski described Tillicum suddenly had a tempting game of tug of war, which he was bound to win. Mm.
Yeah, I guess he thought it was an actual toy.
I call bullshit. He didn't have a dangerous disposition. Didn't he already kill two people before right. that?
Yeah, and I don't
I call
think they
bullshit, buddy.
I don't think they had ponytails. I don't think those other people had ponytails like this.
Hmm. Oh boy.
I mean, it is. It's like you can do all the training you want, but how if something unexpected happens or something new is introduced that you didn't plan for, of course you got to expect anything to happen.
Well, it's like if my 5-pound dog sees a squirrel, she's right. going after the squirrel.
Especially if the squirrel has a ponytail.
Exactly. Which they all do in my neighborhood for some reason.
Oh, yeah. You live in Los Feliz?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so fucking cool over there, those squirrels.
Some of them have little man buns.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
That's cute, too. That's cute, too. Yeah. So let's also put captivity-induced aggression.
Well, wait. Do you want to put a ponytail on the board?
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want to blame a ponytail?
Well, yes. I don't know. Clayton, we might at least put it up on the board so we can discuss it during the process of elimination.
Okay. It's the camp of victim blaming, but
I'm not saying it was her choice to.
Yeah, Rebecca, do you want to blame the kids who had cancer she was growing her hair for, too? Is that what you want to do?
No.
Jesus.
No, I'm just saying it could have,
I think that guy was just trying to cover his ass because I don't think the ponytail had anything to do with it. How, you know, all those trainer girls wear ponytails. That's their right. look. Yeah.
There's a unwritten rule, though, on the alarmist, though. We throw everything up on the board. Yeah. You know,
it's up
really
there.
Indiscriminate. No judgment. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll no keep judgment. And then we'll take it off early. Like, and that'll be, we'll give ourselves a little moment there, but let's put it up there for now.
And sorry, Rebecca, what was it that you also wanted to throw up?
Oh, yes. Captivity-induced aggression. This is according to CNN panel discussion, Jane Velez Mitchell. If you were in a bathtub for 25 years, don't you think you'd get a little irritated, aggravated, maybe a little psychotic?
Mm. Mm-hmm. It depends. Was it a clawfoot or are there jets?
The water would definitely get cold.
That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And you'd get all wrinkly, and I hate
you'd
that
get
feeling.
Super wrinkly.
And eight times a day, someone made you do a dance in that bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, no, I don't want to do that anymore.
Okay, yeah. You're going to find this interesting. Tim Zimmerman says, starting at Sealand, Tillicum had developed the habit of grinding his teeth against metal pool gates. Many of his teeth were so worn and broken that SeaWorld vets decided to drill some of them so they could be regularly irrigated with antiseptic solution. Jeez. Paul Spong, 71, director of Orca Lab in British Columbia, which studies orcas in the wild, did part-time research at Sealand before Tillicum arrived. If you pen killer whales in a small steel tank, you're imposing an extreme level of sensory deprivation on them, he says. Humans who are subjected to those same conditions become mentally disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is according to a National Geographic, a peer-reviewed 2017 study in the journal Archives of Oral Biology found that a quarter of all orcas in captivity in the U.S. have severe tooth damage. 70% have at least some damage to their teeth. This stress-induced behavior has been documented in scientific research since the late 1980s, commonly called stereotypies. I'm reading that correctly. Repetitive patterns of activities that have no obvious function. These behaviors, which often involve self-mutilation, are typical of captive animals that have little or no enrichment and live in too small enclosures.
Right. Too tight living quarters, too. I mean, we all just lived through a pandemic for 2 years and we started going crazy after 2 months.
I had to share a bathroom with my husband for like 6 months and I said, we're leaving. I can't. Mm-hmm. I need two bathrooms.
And so thank God you could leave.
Yeah. I actually stole his parents' house from them. I was like, we're taking their house. I can't do this. That makes me so sad because, you said how all the whales' pods have their own song.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah. Like, song is a good
word. He was like
for
singing
it.
His part all alone and nobody was there. Oh, to
stop.
Fill
you
it
can't.
In.
That's so sad.
No, oh it's so sad. I mm-hmm. sobbed when I watched this movie. I like wept. I wept.
Doesn't it make you think too about like people who grind their teeth at night?
Yeah.
That's are they, what, well, are that's, they in that's, an, well, a tank that's disturbed. Too small in their life?
They're disturbed. Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of manifestations of anxiety for people. And, you know, if you look at human, like Homo sapiens, like we weren't meant to just like sit in a house and watch Netflix all day. We were right. like, oh, our bodies are designed for like long,
we're social creatures, just
and,
like these.
Yeah,
orcas.
Exactly. Like whatever. So there's probably some parallels going on here with us. And
it's crazy that you would see like the same symptoms in this orca that we see, you know, in humans. And we, I think at least recently, like mental health has been like a real focus, but like we could see that and still just kind of like actively ignore it for right. profit for whatever reason. It's like, what else do you think is causing that self-mutilation and teeth grinding?
And didn't his little fin go down too?
Yes. Mm. And I was reading some facts about orcas and, they were saying that male orcas are the only animal that stays with their mother for their entire life, if possible. And if they lose their mother, they assign another female orca in their pod to like that mother.
Oh, it was like the matriarch of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's like. He was alone and I just get so sad thinking of him wanting his mom.
And these tiny little cage. I mean, why did they have to be so, I mean, I think that he was held in Sealand in a cage that was like 26 by 20 feet deep. And these things are so big. Like, how is that even justified?
It's so that there's more room for all the assholes to walk around and spend money at the park.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't want to listen. I'm going to be dead ass honest with y'all. I went to SeaWorld and I did see Shamu once and I thought it was great. Jackie. This was years and years before. Sure. And nobody knew. So I'm not saying you're an asshole if you've been to SeaWorld, but you are now. If you go now, you are.
Yes.
100%.
If you're a 12-year-old and you don't really know what's going on and your parents take you, like you're just there. But if you're, good point. If you're going now,
I mean,
shame
people
on you.
Still go.
That blows my mind,
they
Jackie.
Still do the shows. I've checked the website.
I mean, it's still up and running. SeaWorld has not closed in Orlando.
No.
And isn't it, it's very upsetting to me to think that it was like dine with, I think the event with that Tillicum was doing every day was called like dine with Tillicum or something, dine with an orca. And it was just like people eating. While they watched.
Oh, did you say dining?
Dining.
Was it? Yeah. Is that what it was? Yeah, oh,
I was like,
oh.
I was like, wow, that's
no,
pretty
no, dine.
Aggressive
like.
Marketing.
Maybe I just heard that because of the subject.
Did we're really else leaning that? Into this. We're just going to really put it out there.
Dying with a killer whale. I mean, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure. Put it past him.
Let's also put a matriarchal bullying. Hmm. This is. Something I found interesting. Naomi Rose, Humane Society of the United States, said male orcas are unusual among mammals in that they are, oh, this is what I was talking about. They are the Philip Patrick sex of the species. That is, they never emigrate away from their mother. The adult male is so dependent on his mother that if he loses her, he may try to transfer that bond to another close relative. Adult males without mothers are most peripheral to and the least integrated into the matrilineal group. Okay, so they're like outcasts. This could explain why Tillicum tried unsuccessfully to bond with Haida and Nootka when he arrived at Sealand. Those were the two other whales he was in a tank with. Tim Zimmerman said at Sealand, Tillicum joined two female killer whales who were sorting out the social pecking order. That meant conflict and tooth raking for all three orcas. And even after Haida established herself as dominant, both females continued to push the young Tillicum around. And then at SeaWorld, he had to deal with the stress of hostile females, particularly a dominant orca called Katina. Tilly was a good guy that got beat down by the women, says Jeff Ventry.
Jeez.
So there are a lot of reasons he might be unhappy. John Jett, who was a team leader for Tillicum, says he sometimes would suffer a beatdown from the female orcas bad enough to rake up his skin and bloody him, and he would have to be held out of shows until he healed. After a good thrashing from the other orcas, Jett says, Tillicum might be off for days, splitting from his trainer to swim at high speeds around the pool, acting agitated around the females, or opening his eyes wide and emitting stress
Jesus,
vocals.
This just sounds like they're torturing these
Yes.
Guys. Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They literally are.
Right. I mean, that sounds terrible.
I wonder if there's something to be said about, like, you know, we love to project our own thoughts onto our animals, like, oh, we think our dog is having this feeling or sensation. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I wonder if there's something to be said about the power of convincing ourselves, oh, he's not tortured, he's just blowing off steam, you know what I mean, like somehow like playing down the actual trauma that he might have been going through at any given moment.
How do we put this on the board? Something along the lines of nobody saying anything, like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's like
all these people, you know, when we're little, we're like, I want to train dolphins. Like, we all right. want to be that job. You have one of the coolest jobs in the world. You see this poor animal and you know he's in pain. You know he's having a hard time. Nobody went, hey, you know what? We should probably do something about this.
Like complicit, like yes, the complicit bystanders. Complicit.
Yeah.
Or like
it's also like a denial of the magic they thought they were getting themselves into. Because
magic deniers.
Yeah, there
complicit,
you go.
Complicit magic deniers.
Okay. We got it.
Fine. Yeah, we really workshopped that one to perfection.
Mm-hmm. conscious ignorance. What is that word? There is some phrase that's
cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, that too. It's like knowing better and doing the fucking fucked up thing anyway.
Well, because you don't want to lose your job and you probably worked really hard to become a SeaWorld mm-hmm. trainer. And once you're there, I mean, I don't know, but you think there's got to be signs along the way where you like start your training and you're like, I don't know if these orcas are into this.
Mm-hmm.
There had to have been.
Now, let's talk about the sweet, sweet sperm.
Let's do it.
Fine with me.
The orca sperm bank business should perhaps go up on the board. One of the keys to SeaWorld's success was its ability to move away from controversial wild orca captures to captive births in its marine parks. The first captive birth that produced a surviving calf took place at SeaWorld Orlando in 1985. Since then, SeaWorld has relied mostly on captive breeding to stock its parks with killer whales, even mastering the art of artificial insemination. Early in the morning, the animal care crew would take hot water-filled cow vaginas and masturbate the males in the back tanks, says John Hall, a former scientist at SeaWorld. Tillicum's sudden availability in 1991 was a boon to the captive breeding program. Russ Rector, a former dolphin trainer turned anti-captivity activist, said, Tillicum is invaluable to SeaWorld as a breeder. Unfortunately, orcas are hard to get, but trainers a dime a dozen to SeaWorld. Ooh. SeaWorld Fact Check said, Tillicum fathered a total of 21 captive-born whales at SeaWorld's parks, or 44% of the company's whales. Tillicum's genes are the most represented in a breeding program by far, male or female. Over-relying on a single stud, particularly one with a history of behavior leading to people's deaths, is generally avoided in legitimate breeding programs, you'd think. So I can't imagine the person whose job it was to fill up the cow vagina
uh-huh.
In the mornings with mm-hmm. Hot water. I don't.
Somebody who had good aim. Hello?
Imagine going to your high school reunion It's like, what do you do? Oh, I started a, you know, I started a startup. I'm in Silicon Valley. What do you do? Oh, I took over my dad's, you know, practice. What'd you do? I jerk off whales against their will.
Herotilicum.
I'm all up in his whales. Yeah. I assault whales.
I sexually assault whales.
Yeah.
Why?
I torture whales. Why? Sexually.
Like, who's doing that? Do you think it's a medical person or is it like what? I'm so curious. What a dark job.
Yeah. I know.
Is it the janitor? It could be anybody.
That's
honestly.
What I'm saying. I'm like, is it a janitor? Like, I don't know.
Well, it says it's being said that John Hall, a former scientist, so I'm guessing the scientists at SeaWorld did it. He's the one who had the information.
Yeah.
I wonder how much comes out.
That's a good
question. Am I a dirty pervert for wanting to know?
No.
I think talking like gallons. Well,
I think whatever happens good after question. You see it will determine if you're a pervert or not. But being curious up until the point of seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not perverted.
Yeah.
It's science.
It's what happens after.
I guess. It's science. Okay. Yeah. So are there any other things we want to put up on the board?
I just want to massage that idea from before. It's willful ignorance is what I that's like
willful the ignorance.
More familiar term that I think we were angling for.
I have something I'd like to add.
Yes. Yeah.
The Bible.
Okay.
I just feel like it's always the Bible. Like,
okay. Just a
the
default.
The way we treat animals. The way that it has just been normalized to treat animals, I feel started with that.
Wow.
And that's truly the whole basis of this entire thing. It's just, we're the man. Mm-hmm. We're the head of the everything. We get to treat every other thing on this earth the way we friggin' want.
Wow. Yeah.
The Bible.
That's pretty solid, actually. I mean, kind of blew my mind there.
You get up on that boat, right?
Yeah.
Get up on that boat.
Yeah, they probably had two of them on there, if I remember correctly.
But just the fact that, we sort of were like, because we can read and write and all this stuff, maybe we're like God's favorite. And then like from there on, it kind of cascaded and we just have zero respect for
And just Adam and Eve walking around being like, hey, you know what? What if we murder that animal and cook it? Like, who does that? Who came up with that?
That reminds me, it's like it makes me think of just like man's obsession with power, right? It's like you see something powerful and you're like, I want that.
Yes.
I want to like dominate that.
Lord of the Rings.
Like you can't just leave it alone and kind of respect it for what it is. It's like we have to harness it.
Yes.
Well, there was a term we used recently for the ground Chuck the Groundhog's death. Humans getting handsy. It's like, why do we have to have our hands on all of these animals?
Yes. What is the need to domesticate, to harness, to beat down these zoos, man?
Yeah, don't put them in a... Why do we have to put them in petting zoos? It's
And they're so sad.
I hate it. Everyone knows, I know we all just met, but the reason that I was asked on this episode is because I'm a 12-year vegan and I'm one step away from being in front of SeaWorld with signs. Like if I had the time, I would be that crazy lady in front of Chick-fil-A in like a chicken suit with blood all over her. Like I'm only one level away from that. Truly. So I don't go to zoos. I don't wear leather. I'm like hardcore.
You're perfect. We did not know that, but
that's why I'm here. So
I'm a vegan in spirit for this episode, I think.
Yeah. Let's all have tofu for dinner tonight in Tillicum's honor. Everybody listening, okay?
Yes.
All right.
A good veggie meal.
Yes.
We have restaurant reservations at a Brazilian meat place, but
canceling. Canceling.
Just get the
vegetables. They might have plantains.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Hi, I would like just a plate of plantains, please. Thank you.
No, we don't.
I feel like we should get to this board and start.
Okay. So let's take a quick break, then we'll start knocking things off the list.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back.
Okay, who's to blame for SeaWorld's Tilikum the Orca murders? Is it judge a book by its cover? SeaWorld, capitalism.
Oh, there hubris, we go. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ponytail, captivity-induced aggression, too tight living quarters, matriarchal bullying, complicit magic deniers. Orca sperm bank business, willful ignorance, the Bible, or humans getting handsy.
I feel like we can take ponytails off the list. Okay. I'm sorry.
We said that would happen, and it did.
And it
did. Was my way of just explaining how that was a weird thing, that was part of this tragedy. But you're right. That guy probably just made it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we could take judge a book by its cover off, because what if it was one of those ironic names? You know, like, oh,
he's so
I know
sweet.
That guy, yeah. He's 400 pounds. We call him Tiny. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
That's a good point.
If that's how
it was
started,
friendly
then
whales, we would trouble.
We're going to look like real jerks if we find that out later. Yes.
I also feel like we can fold complicit magic deniers into willful ignorance.
Right. That's what we were going for.
Even though
for,
I like where we were.
Complicit magic deniers.
I know, but that's such a good name for a band.
It is.
Oh, my God.
It is.
So, you're welcome. So if anyone's looking for a name, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Too tight living quarters feels like humans getting handsy / man's obsession with power to me.
Yes.
Like that's, just a sort of result of them wanting to. And the captivity-induced aggression has to do with the captivity, which has to do with humans wanting to keep these animals in captivity now.
Mm-hmm. You can't blame Tilikum's aggression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't ask to be put in a tank. So
No. He didn't.
We can fold that in.
We'll fold captivity and living quarters into humans getting handsy, correct?
Because when you think about it, what he's doing when he's, quote, being domesticated or trained is trying to tamp down every natural instinct in his, that he was born with, we can't blame him.
I don't plan on it.
I feel
notice that Tilikum is not
on
this
list. Oh, he wasn't
even
on the list. Jesus.
I mean, I just feel like you can't.
No.
You can't blame him. He's a natural wild animal. He shouldn't be there in the first place.
You know, as much as I hate SeaWorld, I don't think they are to blame, because the other place did it first.
Sealand.
And there's other ones. If you've seen the movie, this is happening all over the world in all different, under all types of names. So as much as I hate to not blame them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Seems like there's bigger things too.
Yeah.
Influencing SeaWorld. Yes. So to me, it's like Wow.
And I think this one, capitalism is a player, but I think we got to sharpen the scalpel and get in there and blame something a bit more specific for this particular murder.
So can we fold that into Orca sperm bank business?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hubris, can be folded into humans getting handsy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I think it's a little more specific.
Wasn't now, one of the other whales named Hubris?
Was it?
Was that true?
I don't know. No.
I have a little chart here. Let's see. No, I don't think
that would be the name of my whale.
I feel like matriarchal bullying. Can we blame just, you know, the way they, the species just like.
No.
Yeah. It's no, like, right?
It's not their fault. They're there either, you know?
Yeah, they're stuck there too. If they weren't there, he could still be going crazy in a little cage by himself.
So we're really.
Let's cut women a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this time.
The Bible. Are we going to get. Let the Bible.
I think the Bible's a great. I mean. It's pretty broad, but it's a good point. But to me, it may get to fold into humans getting handsy.
Mm-hmm. It's a guidebook to our relationship.
Maybe you
to
do
animals.
Hold a Bible with your hands.
This is true.
You
right?
If you don't have a stand. Yes. That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So we've got Orca sperm bank business, willful ignorance, the Bible, and humans getting handsy still left up here.
Mm-hmm. I feel like willful ignorance can be folded into something because it seems like that comes after the fact that he's already captured in the, you know, like it happened because of the ignorance.
I don't want to piss off any Christian believers, but isn't willful ignorance the whole Bible? That's the whole thing, right? It's like there's a magic man in the sky, and if I'm good, he'll treat me good.
I mean, you know, there's faith, and there's like
sure. You're saying there's other aspects.
Well, yes, there are other aspects. Yes, I am a spiritual person. I'm just saying. Following this text blindly.
Sure.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yes. There are definitely people who operate under willful ignorance. In terms of what they read
and
in the
good
Bible,
for them.
Or just cherry picking
good for them
from the Bible.
Because it's this world is hard and we need all the breaks we can get.
Truth.
Totally. I mean, if you went to SeaWorld before, what was it, 2013 when the documentary came out, then you're allowed to forgive yourself, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was there. I was willfully ignorant and I had a nice time. Mm-hmm. I sat in the splash zone.
Right. I just feel like I can't blame you. Like if you are one of those participants, it's
well, as soon as I realized what was going on, they didn't get a dime of my damn money, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I
mean, so I'm going to fold that into the Bible. Maybe I just feel like we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to admit too, I never went to SeaWorld, but I went to the Seaquarium in Miami. So
yeah, you were you were complicit in this whole operation.
Absolutely.
But did they have orcas?
I believe they did.
Oh, man.
And I did sit in the splash zone.
It's so sad. The dolphins are so sad, too.
Oh,
God.
Not to bum everybody out worse, but their really, little sonars go crazy in small spots. They're literally just going crazy. I hate it. I hate when people are like, I swam with dolphins on my vacation. I'm like, those poor dolphins.
The best example of like it wasn't a domesticated dolphin, but like a version of like coming close to a dolphin is when I was a kid, I went down to Florida with my mom's boyfriend at the time, and we would take his little boat out like on the canal out to the water. And there were some dolphins there that just like knew there was a bait shop nearby. So they would just like cruise up to boats because they knew that you would give them fish, but they were like free to, they knew where you were. They came to you and then they just like went and lived their lives. And it was like, that's like a real kind of like special natural way of interacting with a dolphin versus like one cooped up in a pen that you are being they are forced to swim with you.
That was a perfect little preamble to what I was just going to say, Clayton, which is I think actually we could have put on the board too is kids, because when you're an adult, when you're an adult, like having a moment, you know, you can appreciate things from afar for what they are, being what they are. But when you're a kid, you want to get up there and touch everything. And, you know, the parents are so tired and the kid just wants to be near the, and like the SeaWorld's for the kids, you know?
Well, you know what it is? It's the kid industry. because they're taking advantage.
Capitalism.
Yeah. Capitalism. Yeah,
they're taking advantage of parents who, you know, have like so many hours in the day and they're figuring out how to entertain and make their kids happy, right?
We also didn't know, once again, didn't know. I know it seems silly now, but we didn't know that, oh, this poor animal doesn't belong in a bathtub. We're just like, oh, how cool, how cute. We want to take our kids to experience this beautiful animal.
So I think that brings up a good point, Chris, the kids thing and what Jackie reminded us that goes back to capitalism, because it really is about making money anywhere we can, even if it is off children. So I wonder if it's like a hybrid, like humans getting handsy for financial gain. You know what I mean? Like it's not just like a power thing. It's like a,
but money is power.
Yeah, money exactly.
Well, how about this? How about, I feel like the kid industry could.
The kid industry. Jackie's about to find out all about it.
I know. I already have. You know how expensive that damn Orbit stroller is? I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, God. What a racket.
But seriously, why do they need all these things, right?
Right.
Why do they need these experiences?
Society tells us consume, consume.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the kid industry. It's the capitalist monsters behind the kid industry.
Yes.
Okay. We're taking advantage of parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Really?
Yep.
So what are we calling that? I feel like we have to add this to the board.
I will also say this.
Capitalist kids industry. Yes.
I will also say this. The Bible has been capitalized.
Sure.
That Jesus preached, give away everything you don't need, but that is not how it is now. The mega churches and things with all the money and the nonprofit status. And, yes. So
isn't it ironic?
It honestly isn't even fair to have the Bible up there anymore, because the Bible, part of it is capitalist industry.
God. Okay. I feel this is what I think we should do. I think we should send the capitalist kid industry for this particular.
Jeez, absolute dark horse out of nowhere. Yeah. Wasn't even on the board.
Yep. We should send them to jail, and then we should slap the Orca sperm bank business. That doesn't feel right.
I think
the Orca sperm bank business feeds into the capitalist kids industry.
Yeah. Sort of those
so then maybe we slap the humans getting handsy. Get your hands off those hands animals. Off
those animals. Respect.
Yes. Okay.
Respect.
I feel good about this.
Which is like the second, I think, did we slap humans getting handsy in the...
We have. We've slapped it before.
Recently, we've slapped humans getting handsy, but I think it deserves a good slap a couple of times.
Okay, I'm going to call it. Humans getting handsy. You're getting the big slap. Capitalist kids industry. You're going to the alarmist jail.
Wow.
We did it. And now we should all be vegan after this episode.
Or at least lay off the sushi for a few months, you know? Did y'all see Seaspiracy?
No.
Oh, no. Shit. Do we want to watch that? Is it
I've
so
seen
bad?
A lot of fucked up shit in my life, not to brag. I'm a Scorpio. We're dark. The worst movie I've ever seen in my life. The darkest, most horrific movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, right. God, Jackie.
Yeah.
I love sushi.
Yeah.
No.
That sucks, man.
It sucks.
Oh. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us get to the bottom of this super, super, super sad tragedy.
Yes, I'm honored and you know, let's tribute Tillicum to this episode. He is at peace now.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if you take anything away, if you go to SeaWorld now, you are an asshole.
Yeah. Well said.
In the aftermath, in 2010, following an investigation into the death of SeaWorld trainer Don Branshaw, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, slapped SeaWorld with safety citations and $75,000 in fines.
In 2011, SeaWorld appealed the citations and their fine was reduced to $12,000. That following year, SeaWorld reported a net income of $77.4 million. Following the release of the documentary Blackfish in 2013, hundreds of thousands of outraged viewers signed petitions calling for SeaWorld to retire their orcas or to shut down outright. Partner corporations like Southwest Airlines and the Miami Dolphins severed ties with SeaWorld. In 2016, the same year California made it illegal to breed orcas in the state, SeaWorld announced that they would end their breeding program and eventually phase out their theatrical orca shows altogether. However, in 2020, SeaWorld Orlando introduced a repackaging of the Shamu show named Orca Encounter. Tillicum died on January 6, 2017, of a bacterial infection, a common fatality for orcas in captivity. He was estimated to be around.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Around 35 years old. Visit our website and let us know who you think is to blame at www.thealarmistpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram at The Alarmist Podcast and on Twitter at Alarmist The. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early with fact-checking by Chris Smith and editing by Molly Hockey. Additional writing by Anastasia Kousakis. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Alex Paul. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith and the Erios Network. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Chilean coup d'etat of 1973.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.